Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. I invite you to join me there if you wish in Luke chapter 1. I'll begin at verse 26. Will you hear now God's word? In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." She was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel then said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of the ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." The angel departed from her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength, and our salvation. Amen. This Sunday, we celebrate the gift of hope. The gift of hope. Hope is a feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. We celebrate hope, the feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. Mary had this great announcement. This great announcement. In fact, we call it the Annunciation. The great announcement that comes from the angel Gabriel to Mary. A message of hope. A greeting of hope. Greetings, favored one. You're going to be a mother. You're going to bear a child. The expectation, the desire for certain birth. The expectation, the desire, the hope of the birth of a Savior. The expectation that people have been waiting and waiting and waiting years for. Mary, the child is going to be born to you. The angel greets Mary. And the angel says to her, "Greetings, favored one." Greetings, favored one. This word, favored one, comes from a Greek word that also our friends, our Roman Catholic friends, use this Greek word. And they use it in a phrase that they use to honor Mary often when they say, "Hail Mary, full of grace." So favored one and full of grace occupy the same Greek word or Greek phrase, kekeramene, kekeramene, this Greek word. And so I invite you to learn a new word today. And I want you, though, we don't have to get our minds around that whole Greek word, but we're going to learn the root of that Greek word. Because it is an amazing word, and it's one of my favorite Greek words. The root of that Greek word is charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. Charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. Someday, somewhere, this will be on Jeopardy, and you all will know the answer, and you can pat yourselves on the back because you learned it on the third Sunday of Advent 2017. Charis, one of my favorite root words from the Greek. This word is used 170 times in the New Testament. 170 times in the New Testament, we find this root word, charis. And according to Adam Hamilton, who's a United Methodist pastor at the Church of the Resurrection, it has been translated 87 of those times into the word grace. Charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. One of my favorite Greek root words. And it's most frequently translated as the English word grace. Greetings, favored one. Hail Mary, full of grace. We find this Greek word, this Greek root word, charis, which we most often understand as the word grace. Grace is God's loving kindness. Grace is God's care. Grace is God's work on behalf of all God's people. Grace is God's blessings. Grace is God's gifts. Grace is God's goodness. Grace is God's forgiveness. Grace is God's salvation. Grace is the free, undeserved, unmerited, loving action of God. The free, undeserved, unmerited, loving action of God. That's what grace is. And here we hear the angel saying, greetings, favored one, you are full of grace. You are full of grace. God's undeserved, unmerited, loving action freely bestowed upon the world. And here, friends, we shouldn't miss the message that the angel is offering to Mary. The angel is telling Mary that literally in her womb, literally in her womb, she is going to carry grace. She is going to carry the free, loving action of God that's undeserved by all of God's people, that's unmerited by all God's people. And it's born into this world and named Jesus the Christ. Greetings, favored one. You, Mary, are full of grace. You are full of grace. Over the next 9 months, Mary, your life will totally physically change and you will carry grace. Grace that will be born and birthed into the world around us. Grace that will be showered down upon people who are undeserving. Upon people who can't do anything to receive it, but it's freely offered to them. Because God is the one who offers grace. Mary, then, is the God-bearer, the God-bearer, the God-carrier of grace. Friends, do you see what's happening here? The charis, the grace that's undeserved, unmerited, is the loving action of God that God offers to you, to me, and to all God's people, is literally being birthed into the world through Mary. Who is this Mary? Who is this Mary? Mary is likely a teenager. 13 or 14 years old, perhaps. Mary lived in a very insignificant town called Nazareth. Nazareth was so insignificant that it doesn't even show up on first century maps as being a location. It wasn't a well-known city like Charlotte or Raleigh or even Gastonia. It's an insignificant location. And Mary herself is a peasant. She's on the lowest rung of Jewish society. She's not a citizen of Rome, and she has no importance and no high standard in society. She's a young teenage girl, unimportant. And here we find God. We find God choosing the most unlikely character, the most unlikely person to be the woman of God's Son, Jesus the Christ. We find God bringing grace into this world through a character that is insignificant, is unknown, is of little importance. We see that God is choosing to bring the birth of his Son through somebody that we would call the least and the last. And brothers and sisters, this is where hope begins to bloom. This is where the feeling of expectation and the desire for a certain thing to happen. This is where hope begins to bloom, because God chooses Mary. An unlikely person, an insignificant person, the least and the last, to do the work of God. That's where hope begins to bloom. Out of the most unlikely person, the most undeserving people, the most unlikely places, and at the most unexpected times. Today we celebrate hope. We celebrate that hope blooms because we know of God's grace. We know of God's grace that's been freely showered down upon us all the days of our lives. I want you to hear where I've seen hope blooming this week. Just this week. A feeling of expectation, a desire for a certain thing to come, hope blooming in our midst. Connie and I have spent a great time over the last couple of weeks visiting our shut-ins and our homebound friends, trying to make sure that we have the opportunity to see them before Christmas. And on a number of these visits, we've walked into nursing homes. And I know for many of us who walk into nursing homes, oftentimes they feel like some of the most depressing and sad places to be. People who've lost their independence, people who've lost their cognitive ability, people who've lost their physical faculties and their abilities to care for themselves. And yet I've watched hope bloom. In the most unlikely place. This week, we met a beloved member of Faith United Methodist Church who now gets to call Myers Memorial her church home. Her name is Sue Alton. Sue is 90 years old. She will turn 91 in January. A little over a year ago, Sue moved into a nursing home. And Sue greeted us at her door with the most magnificent smile on her face. "I'm so glad you're here," she said. And then she proceeded to tell us, "I'm grateful. I'm grateful for where I am. It maybe isn't where I would choose to be. Who wouldn't rather be at home? But there's people here that care about me, and there's people here who take care of me, and there's people here who love me. And so I'm choosing to make the best of my situation." Hope blooms in the most unlikely of places. On Friday, I volunteered at Robinson Elementary School, where our twins are in the fourth grade. And while I was there, I ran into a teacher that I know who had the most distressed look on her face. And she said, can you just give me a hug? I just need a little prayer. You see, I'm stressed. There's these two students in my classroom that just cannot seem to get along. And it's totally disrupting my entire classroom environment. I know it's almost Christmas break, she says, and I just need to keep on keeping on. And so I gave her the hug, and I watched her face that had once looked stressed, seem a little bit lighter because hope was blooming. And she said, I'm going to make it, and so are they. Hope blooms in our midst. Again on Friday, I was sitting behind my desk, writing some notes, getting caught up on some things that hadn't been able to pay attention to, and Lori Stout stops by to visit. And Lori comes in and shows me a picture on her phone, and I saw these beautiful eyes of a little Chinese girl that Lori and her family have just found out that they will be able to adopt. These precious little eyes, this precious little face, this long-awaited anticipation of the gift of a child, hope blooms. Hope blooms in the most unlikely places, at the most unexpected time, and to us, friends, the most undeserving people. I'll be the first to confess to you that life is hard. Life is hard, and many of you are walking in the midst of darkness right now. You're suffering because of health conditions. You're awaiting news from doctors. You're grieving. Your hearts are broken because you miss someone that you love deeply. You feel forgotten. You feel lost. Greetings, favored ones. Greetings, favored ones. God has showered God's grace upon you. God continues to shower grace upon grace upon grace upon you. And grace, that undeserved, unmerited, loving action of God, that grace has power. It has power to do exactly what the angel says, be not afraid. Grace has the power for fear to be wiped away. And grace has the power to claim that nothing, nothing is impossible with God. So lift up your hearts. Turn your eyes upon the cradle. Grace abounds. Grace abounds. And hope. Hope is blooming all around you. May our eyes and our hearts be open to see expressions of God's grace and God's hope in our midst in this week ahead. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.